morning. I'd like to call the April 12, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Stevens?
Here.
Mr. Sino is here as well.
Would all members of city staff who will be testifying please come forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I'd like to ask that all members of the audience please put your cell phones on either vibrate or silent mode, please. And as you come forward to speak, please speak into the mic at the podium. Of all members of the code board have the opportunity to review the March 8, 2012 meeting minutes?
Yes.
Are there any changes or corrections?
I think on the last page after Mr. Harrington left, the vote on the last one would have had to been 6-0 and not 7-0.
Oh, he actually came back.
Oh,
just
he came back.
Did
you?
Oh,
okay.
So I'll correct that.
Okay.
Thanks, Ms. Kundig. Is there anything else?
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown to approve the minutes, second by Mr. Bourne. Other questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Is there any member of the board who would like to disclose any ex parte communication with any counsel or respondent in any case?
Just again, if there's any confusion what that is, but only bring it up. But do anybody pretty much know what that means, ex parte communication? Okay, it's been on for a while. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Are there any announcements, Mr. Jackson?
I'll actually look to Ms. Hampton and see if there's anything that changed. As you know, he represents a dual role here.
No, not at this time, other than Mr. Garcia just running a few minutes late, so if we could pass over the lien review of truck at this time.
Are there any members of council present? So please come forward.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
This is on page 5, the first one, new case number 14.
Morning, Chairman Stevens, members of the board, Brother Tony. I'm Randa Burnett, 1124 Waverly Drive, Daytona Beach, 32118. And I'm a partner in ABEW Partnership, which is the owner of 1216 Kennedy Boulevard. Apparently, an initial notice issued in December directed to the P.O. box of the partnership, which is maintained by my partner, Doug Wigley. And for whatever reason, Doug did not receive or didn't comprehend the communication from the city. In March, of course, we received the certified letter, and there were two violations. One was the failure to do particular sign disclosing a type of construction to notify firefighters of the type of construction was done in 1974 when the building was constructed so that they can use certain techniques in firefighting. The other was the failure to have a license. David Newell is the inspector, and I initiated communication with Mr. Newell on and the proper sign was posted, and I emailed to David, remember serves me correctly, on March 29th, a copy of the state license, and he then advised me that the property did not have a city license. So on March 30th, I hand-filed an application for a city license with permits and licensing. I'd called ahead and to find out what the filing fee was and attempted to pay the fee at that time, but the person, I guess, to review the app wasn't there, so they just took the application, not the fee. Didn't hear anything. Then finally on April 10th, I got, sort of calendared on it, and I checked in with Mr. Newell, and he advised me that I would need to either have the license in hand to exhibit to him or be at this meeting. I called at his suggestion, permits and licensing. As it happened, my partner, Doug Wigley, was in the area of City Hall. And on March 30th in the afternoon, Doug went by and met with the folks there and tendered the filing fee based upon the number of rooms. And the inspection of the property has been scheduled for Tuesday, April the 24th, in the afternoon. So I have copies of items to file with your secretary if you'd like to substantiate these matters. And what I would ask the board to consider is one of two things. One, either continuing the matter for 2 months, if you don't want to see my smiling face again, because I suspect that in a 1974 building, we're probably going to have some issues that come up in the inspection. The other, if you'd like to receive a report, I'm glad to give one, you can continue for 1 month, and I'll be back to see you next month.
Before we take any action, Mr. Burnett, let us hear from Mr. Newell as well.
Morning. Morning. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Good morning. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach, Fire EMS Specialist. Case 14, as shown here, as Mr. Burnett talks about, is in reference to ABEW partnership against the City of Daytona Beach, which is 1216 Kennedy Boulevard. The initial correspondence did go out with no return as far as the violations being the no sign on the building and no license. Then a certified letter essentially went out. The sign was placed. I did have correspondence with Mr. Burnett. On the license, he did send me, as he described, the information via email, which ended up being their state of Florida license. I explained to him that he would need to obtain a city license. At that time, he was moving forward with that. He did have communications with me via phone saying that they were taking care of that. As of today, I did speak with Juan Davis down in the Permits and Licensing Division, and it was applied for on the 10th, and the inspection is scheduled for the 24th. Staff recommendation is for a continuance based on the fact that he's had been unable to actually get this inspection and actually has went through the procedures to get this inspection taken care of. I would say 60 days would probably be beneficial for the fact of there may be some other issues going on with the property they may not be aware of, because this will be an inspection that will be done for electrical, mechanical, plumbing, and everything else like that. So I do concur with Mr. Burnett by continuing for 60 days for approval. But he has been... Sorry, sir.
Go ahead.
He has been in after the first initial, or actually when the certified letter came out. Since that certified letter, Mr. Burnett has been in contact with me very frequently via email or phone.
Does any member of the board have any questions, comments?
Yes, please. Mr. Noel, what type of building is this? Is it a multifamily? Is it commercial?
It's an apartment complex. I believe it is 20 units, apartment complex.
Okay, 20 units. How long has this partnership owned the building?
That I'm not aware of.
Since 1990.
You can come to the mic, Mr. Burnett.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Since 1995. It was acquired on Halloween.
Have you ever had a city license for this building?
I really don't know. Okay. We've had various managers over the years of... as it turns out, of not really great competence. And Doug and I have sort of taken this over and discovered that, of course, our state filing for the partnership had lapsed. So we're running cleanup in a number of areas.
Does any other member of the board have any questions or comments?
I would like to know again. He's asking for
60 days.
I was going for the 60 days only because for the simple fact that the inspection is that's going to be performed from the city, the building official or his designee will actually go through. So there'll be the plumbing, electrical, mechanical. So I think what Mr. Burnett is looking for is if there's any deficiencies that come out of that inspection, he wants to come back to you, correct me if I'm wrong, with a clean report saying that their building, they have an occupational license, because if he has deficiencies from that inspection, they won't be able to issue him a business tax receipt, until those deficiencies are corrected. And I want to be able to explain to you that they have obtained the business tax receipt, and not at the next meeting they went through the inspection, but they have other stuff that they are going to have to correct. So trying to make it less of a caseload on you and making it a little easier on everybody if possible.
Okay. Mr. Burnett, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes. I think you're asking for a continuance rather than a request of what they want rather than a lack of compliance.
I guess we need to take a motion.
The motion to continue this 60 days.
Go ahead. I motion
that we give them the continuance.
Okay.
Well, the chair, if I may, and I'm not sure, but I believe that if I understand the staff position, it's actually for the finding and then a time to come to compliance beyond 60 days. Is that right, Mr. Lewis?
I'm sorry?
I say you want them to make a finding and then a time of 60 days to come to compliance.
Yes.
That's not what Mr. Lewis said. Mr. Lewis asked for continuance. That's why I said that. Either way, it's fine. What do you guys want to do?
Give me a suit.
And then it'd be the same thing anyway. It's going to be the same thing.
Sorry.
Yeah. So do you want a finding of non-compliance and the 60 days for compliance?
Sure. Yes.
Ms.
Lyons? Okay. So I'll re-enter. We're saying find him in compliance. Non-compliance, and then allow 60 days for.
Right.
Yes.
Second.
And we have a motion by Mrs. Himes to find the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until June 6, 2012 to come into compliance. I'll be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day. We have a second by Mr. Harrington. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Good day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett.
Your question was appropriate.
Mr. Rule had one other one.
Number three.
That's
yeah, that's the only other one. Number three was City of Daytona Beach against Ocean Sands LLC. This is 1024 North Atlantic. This is the property that had numerous violations, and the last one being the monitoring issue. We had member from last month where they...
Hang on, David. Oh. Amy, I didn't read until the record, the case number for number 14.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You want me to just do that?
Yes.
Formally do that? Okay, case number 14 was CEB 041226. ABEW Partnership LLP. Mrs. Himes had the motion to allow finding the respondent non-compliance and allowing the respondent until June 6, 2012 to come into compliance. Will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day. The second was Mr. Harrington. And case, David?
Three. I apologize.
That's right. Case number three is CEB 011204, Daytona Ocean Sands LLC. Property is located at 1024 North Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent here?
No.
Okay.
This is the property that had numerous issues that were all, with the exception of the fire alarm, water flow and stuff was not monitored, or the water flow was not monitored for the sprinkler system. If you remember, this property was taken over by a new organization, and that organization has since fixed that. And just I wanted to let you make you aware that they not only did not just monitor the water flow, they monitored the entire building. So the safety has been increased for that facility greatly because of all this. So I wanted to just let you guys know that they are in compliance.
As of what date?
Yesterday.
Case number three is in compliance based on the inspector's testimony as of April 11, 2012. Thanks, Dave.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Okay. Case number one is CEB 041154, C and Sun Properties LLC. The property is located at 1025 North Atlantic Avenue. We're here for a progress report. Compliance is set for 5/2/2012. Morning, Tom.
Morning. Progress is coming along real good on this property. The only problem we're facing is they're taking a little bit longer. He's putting expensive flooring down, if you see in the pictures. Expensive granite countertop down. And I do not believe he will be in the completion date by May, so they're going to ask to try to amend it to July if it's possible. He's just taking a lot, he's put a lot more money into it than he expected, so, but progress is coming along.
Is that something that's amenable for the city and you?
Yes, sir.
In July?
Yep.
Based on the inspector's testimony, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until July 3rd, 2012 to come into compliance. Will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Motion by Mr. Borens, second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes. Tom, can you say what they've done in the last month or so?
Yeah, they've gotten all the windows done. They've got the doors replaced. And like I said, out of a 12-unit complex, they got only one unit completely done, that which is the countertop and floor. And like I said, he's put a lot more money into it than I would, so he wants to finish it, so he's got 11 more to do.
Okay.
Are there any additional questions or comments from members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
Case number two is CEB 0811107, David Wyman, which is in compliance as of April 3rd, 2012. Case number three, CEB 011204, has been disposed of. Case number four, good morning, Hector.
Morning.
Is CEB 031213, Paula Hootson, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, LLC, and Paul E. Hootson, joint tenants with right of survivorship. Property is located at 731 Florence Street. Good morning.
Good morning. Could you state your name, please?
Peter Ferrantino, Paula Outson's husband. I'm in charge of the property at 731 Florence.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Yes.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Peter Ferrantino.
Mr. Ferrantino, let us hear from the inspector first.
Nope.
Morning, Dana.
Good morning. I spoke to Colleen Miles, and this is a case that's going to have to be amended because it's being held up for a non-conforming use that they're pulling permits. So one, they can't get the OC license until they get that. Once they get that taken care of, they can do the. He's already applied for it. He's just got to pay for it and then set the appointment. Right now, he's working on the permits. He's submitted the documentation needed. He's taking care of the parking issues, the screens put on all screens on all the windows. This is the only thing that they did. The outside storage was removed from the back of the building, but then it was put all the way to the fence. He's having trouble dealing with his tenant, who's a language barrier, and he's going to tell him that basically he needs to remove it or he will. Okay. And the screening around the front two porches kept getting torn and whatnot, so he had removed those, and also the door that was added on there, he removed that. So that's where we stand now.
What's your recommendation, Dan?
Next cutoff to be in compliance by then.
May 2nd.
Correct.
Okay, based on the inspector's testimony, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order. Go ahead, Mr. Ferrantino, if you'd like to say something.
I'm fine with that. I should be done in 2 weeks. But
okay. Based on the inspector's testimony, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until May 2nd, 2012 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, plus a one-time $250 administrative fee. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes, do you have will you have an occupational license at that time?
Is that me or you?
He has to get the permit
situation first, because he can't jump one before the other. If he goes now for the yacht license, which he applied for, and they do the inspection, it won't pass because of the wall that they built. So he's now gotten all the paperwork for the wall. He's going to get, he's applied for the permits, and he's going to get that approved. And once they approve of that, then he can get the occupational license and do the rental inspection, and everything should pass then.
So that should be by the next month, you'll be able to do that.
He's
okay,
in a couple
good.
Of weeks.
Yeah, I have all the paperwork. I had an engineer go out there, mm-hmm. the tenant, and put the wall up.
Okay.
So I had an engineer yesterday out there.
They just signed off on it this morning.
Okay.
Or he brought me downstairs showing that it was signed off.
Yeah.
Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thanks, Mr. Franzino. Dan, it appears you have one more, case number 16.
Yes.
Case number 16 is CEB 041228, Greyhound Lines Incorporated. Property is located at 138 South Ridgewood Avenue. Is there anyone here representing a respondent? What can you tell us about it, Dan?
My name is Officer Garcia. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 0412-28, City of Daytona Beach versus Greyhound Lines Incorporated. Property address is 138 South Ridgewood Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 39-15-33-01-20-0020. And the violations are the failure to keep the landscaping free of overgrowth, trash, and debris, repair the pothole, and broken paving and fence. Green card was accepted, signed for. I spoke to, on April 10th, Tuesday, I spoke to Deanna Simsek, which is the regional real estate manager. And what they're doing is she's got a contract. They just put those two boards there that fill them spaces out, and that's all been cleaned up. They just need to paint them, and then there's a side wall on the south side. That whole wall is going to be all cleared. It looks just like it is now. It's going to be all cleared, and the holes that are at the curb off of Ridgewood, that's going to be filled in. And repair the cracks and whatnot. And if it's needed that they have to replace it, they're going to have to pull permits and then and replace it. So I'm asking for next cutoff.
Dan, does any member of the board have any questions, comments?
Yes, yes.
Aaron.
This initial filing was last July. Did you have any... other than this last contact?
I had contact with someone, and then she was transferred. There was a new person I was dealing with, so I lost the contact person. I didn't hear nothing for a while, and finally when I did hear, they said someone else was taking over this, and it was a real slow process. They were talking about selling is what they wanted to do. They wanted to sell the property, get rid of it, and it turned out that they wound up keeping it. And that's when I sent it here and told them they're going to have to take care of it. And so I got a new contact person I'm dealing with now, and she's got a contract on board, and they're going to make some repairs.
Danny, my question is involving their closure of this particular station. I don't think they're going to use it full time as they are doing now. Has there been any conversation regarding that and the upkeep of the property if they decide to close it or when they decide to close it?
Well,
I think it'll just be a...
I think it's still up in the air about selling the property. They're still thinking about that. But I like to also get a will find after that to make sure they maintain it, because that's the problem. They keep, you know, dropping the ball on keeping the landscaping and whatnot. I spoke to her about also updating, putting ground covering in the front where it's died, and seeing if they can keep that maintained, because it's off of Ridgewood, the main thoroughfare, and having that looking decent.
Are you dealing with the property manager or actually
the realtor manager?
Okay.
I'm dealing with her now. Deanna Simsek, she's the regional real estate manager.
Based on the inspector's testimony and information that has been provided, chair would entertain a motion finding respondent non-compliance and allowing respondent until May 2nd, 2012. Coming to compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is for such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Garcia.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Let us do the lien review. I believe that's going to be handled by Mr. Garcia on behalf of the city. The lien review is case number CGB 09-11126, 121 South Grandview Avenue, -GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. And the property address is 121 South Grandview Avenue. Looks like we have someone representing this one. Good morning.
For the record, my name is Michael Woods with Cobb Cole, here today on behalf of GEA Seaside Investments. Here today, you see the request before you. I presume you may have read through the written request that we filed earlier or at the end of last month. That request provides for a reduction down to 10%. That really was based upon some previous experience at this code enforcement board a number of years ago. I've had conversations since with Mr. Garcia that may not necessarily be sufficient to cover the city staff and time involved with the project. I can go into a little bit more detail as to how we got to this point on this particular property.
Amy, he needs to be sworn.
No, he's an attorney.
Oh, okay.
We get treated special, I suppose. Well, essentially, the issues that we had on this property, and the property owner is an individual, as a corporation, was going through bankruptcy. He has a number of properties in the city that were going through the redevelopment process, reliant in no small part on funding from the redevelopment board. That funding, as a lot of other items, has lost some of its funding, and the funds disappear, essentially. Now, the city is not a partner with GEA on any of these houses. I mean, he's an individual property owner, and he's trying to do the right thing for the city, but he's there to make money as well. But his conversation, his communication on this process with this property and others was through the redevelopment department, trying to verify the funds that are available. Like I said, helped pay or provide for costs on cosmetic improvements, painting, and the like. When this project came forward, or this property came forward on a code enforcement violation, I believe it started as part of Daytona Pride, I think. But be it as it may, I think my client kind of underappreciated the distinction between the departments. And so he continued to work with redevelopment. What's going on? What's the status of the permit? What's the status of the funds? And when he was in contact with code enforcement, it appears that he was talking to the wrong code enforcement officer, I guess an officer Fitzgerald, when I think it was either a Barbara or a Susan that was instead in charge of the file. So long story short, and you can see it in the documentation, there was an update that got provided before the notice of, or before the determination of violation was found. That's not reflective in your or on the docket. So when the hearing did come forward, it seemed as if the client had been non-responsive at all. In fact, he had been working with the city and to some extent with code enforcement as well. The second issue is my client sent in a document to the city about 2 days before the hearing. Essentially, he asked for it to be canceled. The proper request would have been, can you get a continuance or whatnot? But that did not apparently get received by the city, and the client, and we weren't representing him at the time, but he failed to show up at that hearing, assuming that the letter took care of it. That's a terrible assumption, but that's what happened. As a result with that, the notice of violation or the finding of violation was determined, and that begins the process. The problem there is there's no obligation on the city to re-notice after that action occurred. So it wasn't until after the fine got implemented on the property that the client realized that the initial request for continuance of the hearing had not been successful. Long story short, we're asking for a reduction in the overall lien. I think we have some support from staff. He was responsive not only on this property but on other properties as well. It's not a matter of a property owner neglecting or ignoring the will of the city. He just was trying to go through the process he thought that he was supposed to be going through with the redevelopment board or redevelopment department, and that clearly was wrong, but that is how you find us here today. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. I believe there may be a number more satisfactory to the city as far as a lien reduction request.
I have a question.
Let us hear from Mr. Garcia before we make any determinations, Mr. Wood.
Okay.
Sarah, do you have any questions?
These initials, GEA, are very familiar. Is that George Anderson?
No.
No,
it's not. Okay.
GDA.
That's GDA. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask, is this corporation still, is it in bankruptcy?
It just came out of bankruptcy, from my understanding, yes.
Out.
And the other issue with that, in full disclosure, he has a number of properties. And I don't know if we need to determine whether he bit off more than he could chew at the time handling those. But he's been handling those very responsibly thus far. The problem is, though he has a number of properties, when it was in the bankruptcy process, his ability to move funds to address one property from the other was kind of limited. So, yes, you shouldn't rely entirely on the city's funds on that redevelopment grant, but he was still trying to respond in a timely manner and still comply with the requirements of the bankruptcy court, too. That gets a little bit above my pay grade as far as what bankruptcy law, how that is handled, but that was one of the limitations as far as what funds were available to move quickly. So you have a violation there of about 42 days, and given the circumstances that aren't having anything to do with the city, he was moving very quickly to get that resolved and get compliance determination from the city.
Your letters of interest to me, you know, I realize a good offense is a good defense, but you've made some very strong indictments about communication between city departments in this letter, and I'm just wondering, is anybody going to be here from redevelopment to explain their part in this situation? Because I think they should be here. If it's going to be entered into evidence, then I think the redevelopment department should address these issues.
Well, and maybe let me clarify, the indictment there, apologize that the letter came off as that strong. It wasn't to indict redevelopment. Redevelopment shouldn't have been the party to be, they're not the clearinghouse on this. The fact that my client treated it as that doesn't really fall on redevelopment's plans, but his appreciation or his understanding was, I'm giving updates here, surely that's getting passed through in the city. It's the city of Daytona Beach, how big can it be? Well, you guys are familiar, you've been on the board for a while, you know it's a large city and the departments don't necessarily talk to each other on a day-to-day basis. The bigger issue is on the letters that got provided, the issue is, he sent a letter to Mr. Fitzgerald, and again, I think that's the only reason that was a miscommunication was because I think he was the initial officer on the Daytona Pride sweep, and then it got passed on to another code enforcement officer. And there's documentation that has that other code enforcement officer's name on it, but you know, my client still transmitted that letter to Mr. Fitzgerald. I'm definitely not trying to throw the city on the bus. And in full deference, I'm saying that my client, if he had the benefit of an attorney, I would have said, follow it up, get a certified letter, do whatever you need to do to document. He didn't do that. He had just been dealing with this department the way he had dealt with other departments at the city of how are we working to resolve the issue. Unfortunately, you have procedures in place here that he runs afoul of, and now we're here today to explain all the background information and try to get some recourse and resolve from that. So it's not meant to slam the city with that letter, not at all. I'm just trying to provide that, hindsight being what it is, my client could have done a little bit more, and again, simple phone calls here or there, but that didn't happen, and that's where we are.
Somewhat.
Okay. Well, after speaking with counsel and reviewing the case, I mean, he did ask for 10%. I believe the fine amount is $4,200. The case was worked on for 6 months. I understand that his client was working with redevelopment, but redevelopment is one entity and with code enforcement is the other. So, again, should there be communication? Absolutely. There should be. But is there always? No. His client should have contacted the code enforcement officer who was involved in the case, and specifically made notes to that officer and not rely on the fact of one department contacting another. With that said, staff recommends a $1,500 the fine to be reduced to $1,500. That would cover time, effort, all of the time that we spent in here notifying, mailing costs and everything else, and staff's time in this case. And if Mr. Harrington is strong about getting redevelopment, then, you know.
We've had other incidents of this in a different, you know, different.
But every case is dealt with on a different.
But when you when a document is entered into the procedure, and we don't have those people explaining it, I think we need it. But if the board feels we don't, or the attorneys feel we don't, fine.
He's hearing basically it's just his opinion. It's not really evidence. The attorney wrote the letter, and he gave his opinion on what he felt that the.
I don't think
it's evidence, so I don't think.
Okay, it's an accusation then.
Yeah, I don't think it's evidence. I don't think it's nothing. I mean, you kind of certainly have the right to hear that information, but I don't think it's evidence.
Okay.
Mr. Garcia, is the property in compliance now?
Yes, it is.
Any additional questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes. Would redevelopment funds have addressed all of the code complaints that were issued on the building? Is my big question for redevelopment.
That's a question, again, like you just stated, it's for redevelopment. I can't answer what the funding was, if there were, in fact, any grants, if they were approved, or so forth and so on. We're going with the assumption that the respondent had done all the necessary steps and possibly may have gotten approval for grants to make repairs and everything else. I don't have any of that paperwork in front of me for it to be factual. Could it have possibly? Anything's possible.
Thank you.
Mr. Woods.
We have a representative of redevelopment here, so he could probably answer those questions.
Morning. Charles Wyatt, project manager, redevelopment department, Midtown Redevelopment.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you have the right to provide us the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Good morning,
Charles. Good morning. Board. I did check with redevelopment, Jeannie Tolley, who is our grant administrator, and for this particular address, there was no funds available. The way the redevelopment grant program works is that you have to complete an application, you have to submit bids, and before the work is done, and you have to get the approval. That's based upon if the funds are available. I checked with her, and she said that the funds were not available for this project. I was out when whatever repairs were being made for this particular project, but there are certain things that we can do, painting, depending on if it's is this residential property, roofs, outside, everything that we do in redevelopment is going to be for the exterior of the building. I don't know what complaints there was against this property. I didn't read it yet. But based upon the information I received from Jeannie Tyler, this particular property did not receive approval to receive a grant because we didn't have the funds at the time. I don't know if everything was submitted or not, but that's the information I received from her.
So, Mr. Bryan, are you saying that at the time this was applied for, that he was notified that there were no funds available?
According to what she told me, yes. And what we do normally is we maintain a list, and we try to contact people as funds become available and say, look, are you still interested? Have you done the work? If you already done the work, then you don't qualify for the grant. But if you still need funding and we have the funds available, then she'll tell you to go ahead and submit the application for approval. And once you approve, we'll normally she gives sends out a letter and said you approve to go ahead and do the work, and once everything is completed, it's a reimbursement process. You actually have to do the work, you bring in the receipts, and it's calculated upon based upon if you approve for $5,000, we would and you spend $5,000, we would give you half of that money back, a 50% match up to $5,000.
So in no way, if somebody has not had a completed application and approved, would that imply to somebody that they're not responsible for code enforcement?
No, we... Correct. That's the case, yes.
There's no confusion there. That, because we had this in another case, I remember, and the lady said, or the office said she had applied for a grant, and the applicant got up and said, I never heard of the... process. So I would like to see this not be used again. And basically what you're saying, you know, to imply anything towards code, they first have to have this application completed, and then they might have consideration for code.
Yes, it's definitely that's the case, because the application process, you have to have a before picture showing the work that you want to get done. And we, like I say, this is a reimbursement. We have to have after picture to show that the work has actually been done, and you have to do estimates. We take the lowest estimate, and that's what we use our calculation on. So everything is in a format. It's documented before we even approve the application. But there is an application process. And normally what happens is that the person who's applying for the grant, they call in, they talk to Gina, she sat down, she talked to them, either Gina or one of the project managers go out and look at the property to make sure that it's in compliance according to what our rules and regulations are. It's a homestead property, it can't be a rental property, it has to be a homestead property. So these are things that's already in place that we follow with our guidelines.
Now, well, let me say make two comments, and then I have a statement, a question for you, Mr. Bryan.
Okay.
First of all, for members of the board, I think you should be cautioned to realize you cannot predicate the actions of a case that we're seeing today that is based on something that occurred in a different case, because the circumstances are different.
I understand.
You cannot predicate the actions of one case on the actions of another, what occurred in another. There may be various circumstances that are similar but not exactly the same. So I'd like to caution all board members not to do that. And also be aware that any actions that we take on the board, the code enforcement board, are not determined by or necessarily affected by those things that happen in redevelopment or any other department, well, some of the departments. So keep that in mind as well. And if I'm not stating that correctly, Mr. Cino or Mr. Jackson.
That's exactly what I was suggesting, why these two are tied in
Mr.
this.
Bryant, the violations based on the information that I'm looking at says there was a failure to replace all rotten wood and paint on the exterior walls, stairs, porches, railings, and steps. But you also stated that in order to receive grant funding from redevelopment, it has to be a homestead property. I don't think GEA Seaside Investments can be classified as a homestead or owner. Well, they're owners, but not they can't homestead the property.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that automatically disqualify them for funding or grant funding or redevelopment?
It depends on the time frame. I don't know when, if they submitted an application. This is a new policy. Some things have taken place. They might have went up under the old policy prior to us changing, so I can't say that they wouldn't.
When was that policy changed, or when did the new policy take effect?
I think like roughly. two or three months ago.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right.
So this did precede
right.
that.
Right. Additionally, I'd just like to say, I try to attend all the code enforcement board meetings, special magistrate meetings, for the reason that I know in a lot of cases that we are working with people that have submitted grants. and I come to try to find out what's going on with those particular cases and other cases. I work closely with code enforcement on all the issues, so we do talk to each other. You know, sometimes things slip through the cracks, but I'm here for that reason and also to try to help people that might have an issue with code enforcement. If there's a way that we can assist them with getting a grant, that's why I'm here. So we do talk to each other, and we try to work together.
Did you find out the time frame from the date of application to the date of denial in this particular case for the grant funding?
Mr. Chair, can I get some just clarification on one thing? Because we have a packet, and in the packet, there is an approval for a paint grant, it appears. So I don't know if there were other grants or said the particular grant we're talking about, was it just Port of Paint? And if that was a problem, then I may be still in a little bit of with Sunderland aspect. But just for just understanding that aspect of it, and granted, that was a half year before they were cited, so I don't know if there's a time period. That approval is in December, they were cited in June of the year following. So I don't know if there's a time period to utilize those funds and do what they need to do, but there is at least that they found.
Mr. Just a question. Was that it? That's not in our paper.
Is that Exhibit F?
We're going off on a tangent.
Yes. Yeah.
That simply
we're
says.
We're going off a whole different directions. The issue is, you know, whether or not to want to reduce the fine or not.
Yeah. Yes. And that simply says the color was approved. Yeah. That doesn't say they got a grant. It said the color was approved.
Yeah. Okay. That's what that means.
Yeah. Oh. I'm just saying the color. And that's a process in redevelopment. You do have to get the colors approved. So that, like you said, that don't necessarily mean that they received a grant. It's a part of the process.
Mr. Chair, because the property is now in compliance, which is our goal, to get the property in compliance, although I don't see a picture of that, and the before pictures are pretty well out of compliance, I would be inclined to reduce the fine somewhat, but I don't think I would favor reducing it down to 10%.
Mr. Garcia has recommended 1,500.
Yes.
That would be
25%.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect?
25%.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect, Ms. Gundy? Or does anyone else have any questions or comments?
I'll make the motion for the 30%, which would be
1,500.
1,500, yes.
I'll second that motion.
Times has recommended or moved that we reduce the fine amount to $1,500 payable within what time frame?
30.
30 days, or will it revert back to the original?
Yes, not to the original 42.
Okay. Mr. Borns?
I agree.
Okay. We have a motion by Ms. Times and a second by Mr. Borns, reducing the lien amount to $1,500 payable within 30 days. If the lien amount is not paid within 30 days, the amount of the lien will revert back to the original amount of $4,200 plus the interest amount for a total of $4,277.33. Are we still accumulating interest?
Yes. This would be because it's less than our maximum.
Okay. That is the motion. There are questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Case number 5 is CEB 031214, Janet M. McLeese. Property is located at 102 North Halifax Avenue. Is the respondent here? Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Are you representing Michael this morning?
My name is Vicki Lankford. I am presenting this case for Michael Fitzgerald. We are employed by the City of Daytona Beach, and our credentials are on file with the city. It's case number CEB-03-1214, City of Daytona Beach versus Janet McLeese. Property is 102 North Halifax. Parcel ID is 05-1533-0808-0065. Violation was parking on an unimproved surface and a boat being parked in the yard for an extended period of time. It's here today for a fine. However, Michael has requested that if they got their permit for putting in a driveway, that we amend it a little bit. And as of March 19th, they applied for the permit. March 29th, it was approved. And April 10th, they paid for and picked up the permit. So in light of that, we would request amend for 30 days.
Till May 2nd.
Yep.
Is that enough time for whatever to be done, just so we won't look at it again in 30 days, have to extend it? Is 30 days enough for?
I think no, in answer to your question. The simple answer is no. Okay. However, but I think in 30 days we'll know if they're making an actual effort to do what it says to do in the permit. So it's not my case, but I would like to see them come back in 30 days to be responsible for continuing forward.
So you want us to amend it till next cutoff?
Yes, please.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we amend our previous order and allow the respondent until May 2nd, 2012, to come in compliance or return to the board for consideration of a fine up to whatever that number is.
$1,000
per day.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Barnes. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Do you have any more, Vicki? Thank you. Case number 6, CEB-021211, Brenda J. Garvin Hill is in compliance as of April 3rd, 2012. Case number 7, CEB-031216, Rachel B. Thomas is in compliance as of April 3rd, 2012. Case number 8, CEB-031218, J.H. and Mary J. Dickerson. Property is located at 407 Jefferson Street. Is the respondent here?
Good morning, members of the board.
Good morning.
407 Jefferson Street, it's still in non-compliance. The city asked that $50 be imposed for each day of non-compliance.
Have you had any contact with the respondent, Eddie, at all?
No, not since the last time she was here at the board meeting.
Have there been any changes at all?
None at all. The property is still vacant. It's unsecured, and we still have some debris up in the front and the rear yard. I know there was an issue with the fence, and it has been concurred that it belongs to the church, and they're addressing the issue.
Okay.
I know it was brought up at the time of the hearing.
Right.
Eddie, at the last time, she stated that they would remove the debris and rocks. Is the debris and rocks that are there, is that the same original debris and rock?
Yes, I took some pictures on the 10th. Should be coming up there. That's one of the three or four pictures that I took. It's still there. Also, towards the rear of the property, we still have some debris towards the rear of the property that still hasn't been addressed.
Excuse me, are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Based on the inspector's testimony and information that has been provided, the inspector is recommending that we impose a fine of $50 per day, effective today, April 12, 2012, until compliance is achieved, with a maximum amount of
$50.
No, maximum.
Oh, a maximum.
That's $50 a day for the removal of the rocks. 15. Because it says compliance by 5-2 here. Is that two separate?
Compliance by 5-2 would be for the exterior of the property, the soffits, securing the property. I believe that there was two points to it. It was for them to clean up the property. And then on the 2nd of May will be to secure the property and repair.
Okay. So
I believe it was two parts to it.
That trash.
You're right. Yeah, when we asked her to take care of that trash and the rocks
yes,
the last time they were here.
Yes, sir.
To
to take care of the roofing items by May.
Yes, sir.
Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day for removal of the rocks and debris effective today, April 12, 2012, until compliance is achieved with a maximum amount. How much was that, 80? Was it $10,000?
Yes.
With a maximum amount of $10,000. And also acknowledging that the respondent is to repair the roof with a compliance date of May 2, 2012.
Well, what do you want to say? Just coming for full compliance by the May 12th day?
May 7th.
Okay. So, second.
I have a motion by Ms. Hines, second by Ms. Kundick. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Mm-hmm. Hearing none, all of the papers say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Just for clarification, the $50 a day again was for rocks and removal of rocks and debris. Full compliance should be achieved by May 2nd. To help expedite everything, Eddie, and get everybody out, do you have any respondents that are here?
Any respondents? Fremont? Nope.
For any case?
Do
you have anybody that's here for any of your cases? John, do you have anybody that's here?
Yes.
Do you mind if we just take John and go ahead and get them out? Okay, thank you. If you all would like to come forward, we'll just come one case at a time. What's the case number, John?
Case number 17.
Hi, good morning. I'm Sandy Sincerik, owner of 515 Janus Avenue. Well, it's more complicated than that.
Can you raise your hand?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Hold on, Mr. Sincerik.
Okay.
Case number 17 is CEB041233, John M. and Sandra L. Sincerik. Property is located at 515 Janus Avenue. Let us hear from the inspector first, if you don't mind, Ms. Sincerik.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number CEB041233, City of Daytona Beach versus George and Sandra Sincerik. Property address is 515 Janus Avenue. Parcel ID is 523-817060270. Violations are no occupational license and dilapidated roof. Since this case began, the property owners have been attempting to evict the tenants. There's also been list pendants filed on the property. I can understand their reluctance to move forward to come into compliance in lieu of them losing the property. And I will let young lady fill you in on the rest.
Excuse me, Miss. Are we? Can we get it up?
I can't see those pictures.
Oh,
yeah.
We had a 5-year balloon mortgage, which was up in 2010, and this was my attempts to try to refinance. And when that didn't happen, they had went ahead and served us papers in November of last year, and the tenants decided to quit paying rent. So now they're squatters. But in the meantime, after they told us they couldn't help us with the refinance, that they would take the house back, let it go into foreclosure, a neighbor's tree fell on our house and damaged our roof. After numerous attempts with fighting with Citizens Insurance, I did receive a check just January. This is 2010, actually. This has been going on for a while. I received a check for $2,358.88 from Citizens Property, made out to us and Wells Fargo, and another check for $3,635.99, also for Wells Fargo. Negotiator told us sign the checks over to them, send them the bids, which we had done, and they would order the repair of the roof. That's never been done. Every time I ever I've talked to John since. I've left numerous messages telling him my hands are tied. I don't have the funds. I have three bids to replace the entire roof is $7,000. I have checks totaling almost six, and there's no leaking. It just really needs a repair, not a replacement. And I don't know. I'm asking you for guidance. I don't know what else to do. Every time I get anything from the city, I forward it on to that negotiator. It's been going on for 2 years. I don't even know if that's the same guy on the case. So now we have squatters, and we have, you know, a faulty roof that we're trying to comply. I had left Mr. Stinson a message that we had told the tenants that the city, you know, gave us a violation. You guys need to be out of there. They're saying that the roof is unsafe, and then they took that, the tenants, as their, hey, we don't have to pay. I don't know what else to do.
John or Mr. Jackson, what's the city's position regarding the occupational license? Because this is, they were first noticed back in August of 2011. I understand that there's a foreclosure process going on, or there are squatters, but still, don't they have the obligation to acquire the occupational license? Or do they?
Yes, they would. That's not going to create any type of exception, at least for the occupational license. I guess the problem is, if I'm understanding right, there won't be an occupational license won't be issued until those repairs are
handled. Right.
So I don't know if they've applied, but I think that if they did apply, that we probably will not issue it.
Ms. Sincerek, based on the information that has been provided by Mr. Stinson and maybe others within the city, did you all at least attempt to apply for the occupational license?
No, we did not, because of all the facts with the roof and the damage. And my hope was just that Wells Fargo would just work directly with the city. I mean, I've let them know that there's going to be penalties and fines if they don't get it fixed. They've got the money. I don't understand the holdup. And a side note, now our insurance has been raised because we have this claim against us, so it really is not anything good come out of this at all for us.
So what's your position as the owner of the property? What are you all planning to do? I know you have squatters, and I believe you said there's a foreclosure process.
Yes.
So the list pending has been filed, is that correct?
Yes. We were served papers in November. No court date set as of yet. That seems to be why I'm falling in between the cracks.
Ms. Gundy?
I have a question about the people living in the building. They are tenants who are no longer paying rent. And why are they not paying rent?
They were served papers from the bank, and they figure it's going in foreclosure. They're not paying rent any longer. The city had also served papers letting them know there was a problem with the roof. So we did not go forward with an eviction because my original tenant I put in there is no longer there. He's subleased to all these other people. I don't even know who's in there anymore. Yeah.
Was there a clause in your original agreement with your tenant about subleasing? He could not?
No. We had a verbal lease strictly.
Gotcha.
Originally.
Sherry, I'm curious. Is there anything the police department can do in this case to help?
We're still being the owner. We can sign the trespass arrest site. However, the fact that the tenants are there, it's their residence. She has to do the formal eviction process prior to being on the trespass arrest site.
Okay. Thank you.
How would I get names of who I'm evicting?
John Doe or Jane Doe.
I can do that? Okay.
Well, at all? Ms. Sarah, do you agree to sum up all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
I'm sorry?
Do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time that you were notified?
Yes.
Okay. Before I ask for a motion, are there additional questions or comments by members of the board?
Sherry, what's the time frame for her to have these people evicted once she files everything?
Eviction notice, it's
going to
be at least 3 months from start to finish.
Gotcha.
At which point you might not own the house anymore?
Yeah, my attorney has said it could be 9 months to 2 years. I have no idea.
Yeah,
No idea.
Well, is that a question regarding the foreclosure?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But what the process is going on based on Mr. Stern's practices, former practices, that could be true. David Stern is the person I'm referring to.
Based on what we just found out and the fact that formal eviction processes have not been filed, and knowing how the eviction process goes, it could take up to a minimum of 90 to 120 days for any legal recourse to be set. Conferring with Officer Stetson, we'd like to amend this case for 120 days, which would be 4 months, and then come back. And in the interim, if the property owner would maintain contact with us and let us know as her steps are going along, so at least we're aware of it, and if an extension needs to be granted, then we can go ahead. I feel that we should work with her due to the circumstances, and that's my recommendation.
Clarification, Mr. Garcia, are you asking that we continue the case, or are you asking us to give her 120 days for compliance?
Let's go with 120 days for right now. To come into compliance.
For compliance.
To come into compliance. And if need be, on the next hearing date, if we need to extend it, then we'll ask for an extension.
Okay. John, I can see pictures, but I can't tell exactly what the extent of the damage is for the roof. And Ms. Insura did say that a tree fell on it, but is it actually open?
No, that's right there is the extent of the damage.
Okay, so there's no tarp or anything that's going to be required?
Correct.
Okay, all right. So it's basically cosmetic?
Yes.
In a sense, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the testimony of... Go ahead, Mr.
No, he was raising his hand. He's with her. I just let him know he needed to come up front here if he wanted to say anything.
I had a question.
You have to come up and be sworn in first, sir. And identify yourself.
George Sincerik, property owner with my wife, Sandy Sincerik.
Okay. Can you raise your hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. I appreciate everybody's comments, and what I would like to ask is, from all the professional aspects, what would we do as homeowners, still yet because it didn't go into foreclosure, how would we get a hold of the bank or who to go into compliance? Because, like you said, as my wife spoke, they apply two checks to us, but then we never cashed them. We have proof that they're not cashed. We gave them back to them. And if this roof is ever going to get fixed, even if we don't own the property anymore, be in compliance with what you're trying to say to make it not look like that and all this, what do we do? My question is to you, well, how do we go about it? Do we contact our bank to see if they want to fix it because they might own the home or...
Unfortunately,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, where do we go? I'd like to ask.
Mr. Sincerik, unfortunately, we can't advise you as to what actions you should take regarding the handling of that particular matter.
They've already worked with us before when we had some issues, and we complied, and it all worked out fine. Yeah. You know, on little issues. But this is, like you said, a structure. Yeah. You know, it's not like we can.
We as a board can only address the issue regarding the violations. We can't give you advice in terms of how you should work with your bank or not.
And I have one question pertaining to that. If we do the 4 month and I'll start the eviction right away, do I also have to still do a business license then? Do I have to comply with that as well in this 4 month time period?
If you're, what are your plans for the house?
My plans for the house are let them have it. I mean, that's my plans. They, like I said, this was us trying to refinance the mortgage, and it's not going to work out. So
the house is not going to be
occupied. Tenants, 22.
Right. If you're not going to have tenants, then you don't need to get the occupational.
Okay. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And the fact that she can't get the roof repaired until everything's done, she's not going to get the license anyway.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Should we require her to apply, Tony?
No, she's going to be going through foreclosure. It's kind of a waste of time. Yeah. I can't see her putting any of her own money in. It's going to get foreclosed. Just make sure that, you know, make the place safe, secure.
And it may not take as long since it's not a homestead property.
And the proper way to file that paperwork would be Mr. John Doe. No. So we don't know who that is.
So we can't really advise on that.
Go ahead, Amy.
But the, you do have the legal services available as well as,
based on information and testimony that's been provided by the respondents as well as city staff, Chair would entertain the motion finding the respondent non-compliance and allowing the respondent until August 1st, 2012 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Is it an exercise in futility?
Ask the inspector, but it seems like it should at least remain a part of the case since the admission filing.
Shall we set that compliance date for August?
If we want to remove it at that point.
And we can change it, amend it.
Things can change in 4 months.
Okay.
That may switch.
In addition, Chair would entertain a motion requiring the respondent to obtain an occupational license prior to August 1st, 2012, or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown.
Second.
Second by, I don't know if that was Ms. Himes or Ms. Kundick.
Twins.
Kundick. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
I have a question. I don't understand what we're doing here. If they want to let the bank have the property, why should they spend 5 cents trying to throw these people out? Why should they invest any more money whatsoever? I think we ought to just go ahead and allow 30 days to come into compliance. Otherwise, we have a fine and put our fine of record, and we'll deal with the lender down the road. I mean, all these actions, allowing 4 months for them to throw them out, why would they spend 5 cents trying to throw them out?
Have you all come to the determination that you don't want the house?
I mean, obviously, we bought it 6 years ago when things were different, and we never had any idea that we couldn't refinance in 5 years. So, yeah, we can't.
I understand your point. Mr. Barnes, are you all planning to just return the property to the bank?
Yes.
Or are you waiting for the are you waiting for the foreclosure process? That's critical.
We've told them we'll do a deed in lieu. I'm a real estate agent. I've offered to short sell with no commission. I mean, I've been over backwards, and they're dragging their feet. So I really don't know what the outcome will be, but they serve papers in November.
See, Mike.
So step one.
I understand Mr. Bowen's point, but if you're going to do a short sale, you're going to benefit financially. That's different than just returning the property to the bank.
No,
the only other effect of the us going forward and deciding on and imposing a fine, the things you said are exactly right. However, we do have the additional effect that as long as they're homeowners, that it will attach to everything that they own, and I don't know if that's the intent of the board right now to bind all property that's owned by them. I mean, that's up to you guys.
The problem is we can't lien the property anyway because there's less penance out there. So we can do a whole bunch of things, but nothing's going to actually happen. I mean, I think the obligation of the board is to get compliance. The motion's fine, but in actuality, that's going to happen.
I think the other thing we have is if they deed the property over to the bank, they can always report to us and other staff members that there has been a change of ownership, right. And then we'll deal with the other owner at that point.
Yeah.
But I understand Mr. Bowen's point. We do have a motion on the floor. Are there any additional questions, comments, concerns? Is there an amendment to the motion? Or will it stand as stated?
Well, I'd like to see the motion amended to either come into compliance in the next 30 days or levy a fine.
David, you got a motion and a second on the board. That would have to be voted down, and then you can entertain Mr. Bourne's motion.
My question would then be, Mr. Sino, is Would it make a difference whether we do it in 30 days or 90 days?
That's no option in this situation. They're not going to put any money into it anyway.
Right.
And, you know, it's our obligation to take action. That's what our obligation is.
But just so I can be clear, because I don't know where I was clear on that, is that the effect of the fine will be that we will impose a fine, we'll record it in the public record, and it will be encumbering all property owned by both the owner as well as the property itself, as well as all other property owned by this named owner, until they're no longer an owner of the property.
Let's give them 100.
Well, because if we do the 30 days, it's going to be attached to them as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we, with 90 days, the bank may realize there's a problem associated with money they've received to get the house fixed, and they can get it fixed, and, you know, that's not on them. So that's why I'm going to stick with the original motion.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Okay. Are there additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Just for clarification, Mr. and Mrs. Sincerek, we have found your non-compliance, which means that you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice. That's just an administrative task that we have to do. We have allowed you until August 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance and also to obtain an occupational license prior to August 1st, 2012, or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time $250 administrative fee. I think I speak for all of the board members. We hope everything will work out for you all. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Case number 18 is CEB 041234, Sam and May C. Scarborough. The property is located at 632 Roof Street. The compliant property is in compliance as of April 3rd, 2012. I'd like to make note that at approximately 10:18 a.m., Mrs. Heim stepped away. Case number 15, CEB 041227, Augustus S. Wade IV. Property is located at 3031 North Oleander Avenue. Property is in compliance as of April 4th, 2012. Chair would like to request a break, 5 minutes. Would that be enough time? And we'll return at approximately 10:24. I'd like to reconvene the Board of Trustees, please.
Finally found your way back.
I've been standing here. I had to find a drinking fountain.
Done. We're going to reconvene with case number 19, which is CEB 041235 JOKA Otoka Holdings Incorporated. Property is located at 933 Tomoka Road. Respondent here. What can you tell us about that?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on record with the city. This is case number CEB 041235, City of Daytona Beach versus Joker Holdings, Inc., registered agent Negus Carl. Property address is 933 Tomoka Avenue, Tomoka Road. Parcel ID 523-725-0020020. Violations we're talking about today are infestation, roof damage, electrical installation hazard, plumbing fixtures, smoke detectors, broken windows, dilapidated exterior doors, interior surfaces, an accessory structure, and exterior walls. All the due process issues have been met. We were asking for non-compliance from next cutoff.
John, I noticed that you have a recommendation of $150 per day.
No, sir. No, this is just the non-compliance.
John, is the property occupied?
The last inspection, there were new tenants moving in.
There were what?
There were new tenants moving in during the last reinspection.
there some reason why you worked with them for it's 8-9 months before we got to this point?
In the beginning of this case, there were active tenants in there. In the interim, those particular tenants moved out. The property was left vacant. wasn't occupied. However, the violations weren't corrected. There was some difficulty getting on and into the property to see if anything had been done. There was a lack of communication up until a few days ago. We have had communication with the property manager at this time. He's requesting an extension to remove the current tenants so he can actually get in there to do some work. I'm willing to do that.
Do you feel he was aware of this before he took over, or at the time he took over?
Honestly, at the time, the issues were urgent. Now that there's been a change of tenants, and I've actually got a hold of this property manager, and he assures me that he's going to do something here if I give him a little bit more time. So I will give him until the next cutoff.
John, I just want to make sure. You stated that when this was notified back in October.
Yes, sir.
There were different tenants in there then.
Correct.
Same owner?
Correct.
So what's going to be different now when he gets these tenants out? That's what he's telling you, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. That he's going to get these out and do it, whereas he had the opportunity before to get tenants out and do it.
That's correct. Okay. The only difference between then and now is that I've actually had verbal contact with him. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
John, does the owner have an occupational license?
Yes, he does.
And basically, you're stating that once he gets these people out, he's going to be able to do this. And we know that process is at least 90 days.
This is his intent, or this is what he's saying.
So if we go non-compliant next cutoff, really what are we looking at? We're going to be fining him.
If it's not in compliance by the next cutoff, yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Based on information testimony that was provided by the inspector, John Stinson, Chair would entertain a motion found respond to non-compliance and allow the respondent until May 2nd, 2012. If not in compliance, will be returned to the board for consideration of the fine for $1,000.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Brown, other questions or comments
by members of the board?
Hearing none, all
those
in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Back to number nine.
Did you say non-compliance?
Yes.
Okay.
John, were they part of one of your cases or not? The respondent's back
here. No. It's going to be a different case at a different time.
Do they have cases being presented today?
No, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Patty? Case number 9 is CEV03.
Mr. Chair, I do have one respondent, 224 South Keach.
Which one?
That just came in. 224 South Keach.
Case number 22. Okay. Case number 22 is CEV041231 Thomas L. Robinson. Property is located at 224 South Keach Street.
Oops, thanks.
Good morning, members of the board.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Can you state your name, please?
Thomas Rowe.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Robinson. Let us hear from the inspector first, and we'll take some testimony from you as well.
Case numbers, Eddie Lopez, Code Enforcement Officer with the City of Daytona Beach. Case number CEB041231. Parcel ID number is 39153204160110 within the Daytona City limits. Violation is 302.8. for the International Property Maintenance Code, motor vehicles, inoperable vehicles. The tires on this vehicle has been repaired. Also, it is a licensed vehicle. It has a tag, a valid tag.
So it is in compliance. The exterior of the property, he's going to paint it within 30 days. We spoke. So next cut off on that. Would like to have a will find issued on the vehicle. I want to make sure that the vehicle is maintained. If it's going to be kept in the carport, that the tires are flated and it's upkept.
Mr. Robinson?
Well, for the car, like I said, I've had two car covers and they've been stolen, so that's why I put the tarp on top of it. Mm-hmm. And like I told him, I understand about the tires. I have no problem with that. And there's a little chip paint, which I had the house painted before. And for some reason, whoever did it did a lot of the job, so some of the paint is just chipping. So it's not the whole lot. The whole house don't have to be painted, just certain areas he said need to be painted.
In addition to that, Mr. Robinson, the inspector is requesting that we also impose a will find, and we haven't taken that action yet, which means that if it's found that the vehicle is, or you violate the code of the city by having an inoperative vehicle, or that vehicle in particular especially, as being inoperative and unlicensed, that we can impose a fine of $5,000 per occurrence. Mm-hmm. That's what he's also requesting. I just want you to be fully aware of that.
The car is operable, and it has a valid tag.
He wants to make sure that it's...
Yeah, okay, I have no problem with that.
Okay. Based on the testimony that's provided by the inspector and information that has been provided to board members, well, first of all, Mr. Robinson, do you agree the sum of all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Say that again.
Do you agree that some of these things occurred at
yes.
the time that you were notified? Okay, based on information that's provided by the inspector and information that's provided the board, chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and requiring the respondent to bring the property into compliance by 5-2-2012 or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
And considering a will fine for the vehicle, an operative vehicle, if subsequent occurrences occur.
So
up to $5,000 per occurrence.
So moved. Second.
The motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borens. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thanks,
Thank
Mr.
You.
Robinson. Like your shirt. Mr. Robinson, love your shirt.
Oh.
What's that, Tom?
Could have had him around once here
again. That's true, yeah. Yeah, I almost made a comment about Randall's, but I
wouldn't be a bit more positive.
No, it wouldn't have been a good thing. Number nine. Case number nine is CEB 031219. Freddie L. and Betty J. Peterson. Property's located at 543 Live Oak Avenue. We're here for imposition of a fine, and the respondent is required to acquire the services of a licensed contractor by 5-2-2012, but compliance has been set for June 6, 2012.
Again, this is a two-part, as I said, to clean up the property. The property owner lives out in North Florida. I made contact once, and haven't been able to contact her again. The property is still in the same state. Okay. Hasn't been cleaned up. City's requesting $50 for noncompliance.
$50 a day?
Yes.
So this is three parts.
Okay. Based on information, well, first of all, does any member of the board have any questions of Mr. Lopez? Based on information and testimony that's provided by the inspector, chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day, effective today, April 12, 2012, with a maximum amount of
$10,000.
So moved.
That's for the trash and debris removal.
Right.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 10 is CEB 031221, J.H. and Mary J. Dickerson. The property is located at 537 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. We're here for a progress report and imposition of a fine if no contract or permits were pulled by April 12th today. And compliance is set for June 6, 2012. What's the status on that, eh?
The property is still in the same state and no permit has been obtained as of today's date.
Have they made application?
No.
What's your recommendation? Well, have you had any contact with
No, I haven't had since the last time we spoke here.
What's your recommendation?
$100 a day for each day of noncompliance.
Effective today?
Yes.
Will the maximum amount?
15,000? Yes.
Based on information and testimonies provided by the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of, did you say $100?
$100, yes.
$100 per day, effective today, April 12, 2012, and with a maximum amount of $15,000 or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Kundick, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 11 is CEB 031222, John H. and Mary J. Dickerson. The property is located again at 537 Martin Luther King Boulevard. We're again here for a progress report and imposition of a fine if no contractor's permits are pulled. Is that a duplicate?
This is
no.
The interior of the property.
Interior. Yeah.
First one was the exterior.
Same status?
Same status.
What's your recommendation?
Same recommendation.
Okay. Based on information and testimonies provided by the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $100 per day, effective today, May 12, 2012, with a maximum amount of $15,000 or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Is this property occupied?
Yes, it is. It's a rental property. It is occupied.
Okay.
6-6.
6-6, yeah. We had a motion by Mr. Harrington. Second was Mr. Borns?
Yes.
Okay. Second by Mr. Borns. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 12 is CEB 031224, TRSTE. I'm assuming that's Trustee LLC. Trustee of the Pompey Land Trust. It's a vacant lot on Orange Avenue. The short parcel number is 5339-7900-0350. We're in position of a fine.
The property is still in the same state. It hasn't been repaired. The fence. I did speak with him when he was here, and he seemed like he was going to repair the fence. It's still dilapidated. City's requesting $50 a day for noncompliance. Maximum 15.
Based on testimony and information that's provided by the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day effective today, April 12, 2012, until compliance is achieved or with a maximum amount of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Second, the motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Eddie Wells, a maximum of 15?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Case number 13 is CEB 031225, Alonzo and Ossie L. Hall. Property is located at 541 Park Avenue. We're here for imposition of a fine. If the rust is not removed, compliance date has been set for May 2nd, 2012.
The rust has been removed. He has cured that violation.
believe, compliance date.
What's the compliance date?
Compliance date was on the 10th.
April 10th.
I've taken some pictures there on the 10th. Yep.
April 10th?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. The property is in compliance as of April 10th, 2012.
Full compliance will be on the May 2nd.
What about the exterior walls?
Yeah, he has May 2nd to...
May 2nd, right. Okay. To
do the stucco.
20. We have disposed of case number 14, case number 15, 041227. Augustus S. Wade IV is in compliance as of April 4th, 2012. We've also disposed of case number 16, which was CEB 041228. We disposed of case number 17, which was CEB 041233. Case number 18, CEB 041234, is in compliance as of April 3rd, 2012. Case number 19, CEB 041235, has been disposed of. Case number 20, case number CEB 041229, Rosa Branham and Levi Miller. Property is located at 535 Division Street. We're here to determine compliance and noncompliance.
Eddie Lopez with Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number. Case number is CEB 041229. City of Daytona Beach versus Braham Rosa and Levi Miller. Property address is 535 Division Street in Daytona Beach, Florida. Property ID number is 39153346050220. Violations is 302.1 of the International Property Code, sanitation, 302.7, accessory structure, 304.12, handrails and guards, 304.2, protective treatment, and 304.6, exterior walls. Also, 307.1, accumulation of rubbish and garbage.
That's not it.
This is the wrong picture, sir. 535 Division Street. This is the rear of the property. You can see it needs major repair.
You think that they'll have that done and in 30 still, days?
As of this date, it's still in the same state as the pictures shown here.
Any contact?
No. I've visited the property numerous times, and it's just vacant. No one's there.
Did you post it, Eddie?
Yes. I have pictures of the posting there, sir.
Is it occupied?
I see a vehicle there, and I get no answer. I'm assuming it is occupied, but licensed? I have no first-hand knowledge of that.
Is that vehicle licensed? Does it appear?
Yes, yes. It comes and goes.
Okay. Can I ask approximately what time of the day you visited the property?
On numerous times of the day during my patrol, during Division Street. I have no specific times, but I have stopped at that property numerous times to see if I can make contact with someone.
Okay. What's your recommendation?
Our recommendation is 30 days next cutoff.
Based on the information and testimony that's provided by the inspector, the chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and requiring compliance as of May 2nd, 2012, will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day. Such motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mrs. Himes. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Case number 21 is CEB 041230. Brenda J. Garvin Hill. Property is located at 597 Fremont Avenue. We're here for consideration of to determine compliance and noncompliance.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CEB 041230. City of Daytona Beach versus Garvin Hill, Brenda J. Property address is 597 Fremont Avenue in Daytona Beach, city limits. Property ID number is 39153390106.
0010. A violation is 17-2.189 from the Land Development Code of Daytona Beach, truck and commercial vehicle parking. This is a citizen's complaint. They have these commercial vehicles at the residential zone overnight. I'm surprised because I did speak with the property owner, and he said he was going to be here. He wasn't going to move the vehicles. He wanted to defend himself in front of the board. So I'm surprised that he's not here. City recommends 30 days for removal of the vehicles to come into compliance.
What type of vehicle is it? I mean,
these are box trucks, commercial box truck vehicles.
Okay. I mean,
he's a pressure wash, I guess.
Okay. I was trying to read the truck.
Mobile. You can zoom in.
A&G mobile detailing and pressure washing. Thanks. And is that his business?
I'm assuming so. It's his vehicles.
Okay.
And again, Eddie, the rules are, you can't park the vehicles there, period.
You can park the vehicles there to load and unload.
But they cannot stay overnight.
They cannot stay overnight. And it's constant. Numerous days I've passed, and the vehicles are there. Early morning, late afternoon, the vehicles are still there.
They're there overnight.
Either it's one vehicle or both vehicles.
Is there any place he can park those near the home? I'm just curious.
Not in a residential zone.
Okay, so he can't park them anywhere. Okay.
So, but technically, he can get permission from the church across the street if he wanted to.
If he wanted to.
Gotcha.
And a good pastor there could let him park. If the church is zoned commercial, right?
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying.
Oh, that's true. That's right. But churches aren't necessarily zoned commercial.
Yeah. It's got to be zoned commercial.
Tony?
No, I was just saying that's really not up to us.
No. I was just asking.
Yeah.
what's your recommendation, Eddie?
The next cutoff, sir.
Okay. Based on testimony and information that's provided by the inspector, Mr. Lopez, chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until May 2nd, 2012. Come into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 22, CEB041231, has been disposed of. Case number 23, which is CEB041232, Arthur James Crump, is in compliance as of March 29, 2012. Case number 24 is CEB041236, Pyramid Leasing Incorporated. Property is located at 538 Dr. Murray McCloud Bethune Boulevard.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number 041236, City of Daytona Beach versus Pyramid Leasing Inc., care of Willie Powell. Property address is 538 Dr. Mary M. Bethune Boulevard in Daytona Beach. Violation. Property ID number is 38153397040060. Violation is 302.7 from the International Property Maintenance Code, Article 19, Section 1, accessory structures. This property is a commercial property. As you can see, these aluminum structures hasn't been removed. The fence is dilapidated. The wood fence is dilapidated towards the rear of the property. This was a citizen's complaint. I did speak with one of the property owners. He was going to remove that big aluminum structure, and it hasn't been removed. City's requesting 30 days. Next call.
When did you last have some communication with the owner?
I had, we were in April and May, just before bike week. I spoke with him, and he said he was going to have it done
in
right
March.
After bank week.
He's not, excuse me, he's not the property owner, though. You talked to Ron.
Ron, yes.
Eddie, you stated also, you said something about a wood fence.
Yes, towards the rear.
I didn't see that on the
accessory structure. It's accessory structure.
It's considered. Okay, yes, okay, okay. Trying to make sure. Okay.
Based on information and testimony that's provided by the inspector, chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until May 2nd, 2012. come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So.
Second. I believe Mr. Smart has the motion. Yeah. Mr. Brown has a second. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Members of the board, is there any miscellaneous business that you'd like to discuss?
Something perhaps not totally related to what we're doing here, but I think that we, you know, need to take a lot of pride in what's been accomplished. And I would hope that sometime in the future, something be put together to point out that the efforts of the code enforcement officers has resulted in things that help make people proud of Daytona Beach. And while I'm on the subject, many of you know Jimmy Huger. Mm-hmm. He's been cited in the paper a number of times. I saw him Tuesday, and in June, he's going up to Washington, D.C. to get the Congressional Medal of Honor from the President.
How about that? Wow. It's wonderful.
And I think there was there was a golf tournament that was at the Daytona Beach Golf Club recently for him as well, on his behalf. And I believe, based on a meeting we had on yesterday, I think there was about $30,000 that was raised.
They wanted over 35.
35.
No, that was what they were hoping for.
Yeah. Good turnout.
Is Mariah still back there?
Yeah.
Mariah's going to be filling in for me next month. I will be not here.
Amy, you can't do that.
I know. First one in like 4 years.
First time ever. Is that because you didn't bring any water?
Yeah, well, we get water next month.
I told them. So my son is actually going to compete in the National Archery in the Schools program tournament with his school and as an individual.
Hopefully it'll do very well.
So that's where they shoot the arrows, right?
Yeah, second in the state this year. So
great.
I'm excited. Wow. So I think it's cool. Mariah's great. She'll be sitting here.
Look forward to working with you, Mariah.
We won't give you a hard time.
Watch out for the chairman.
Yeah, make sure
it's a short agenda.
Try not to all talk at once.
Give her a bunch of lean reviews.
No lean reviews, short agenda.
Yeah.
We have to watch out for you. You're slamming innocent insects or something.
Oh, yeah.
We thought you were trying to hit someone.
Yeah.
Mr. Sino, do you have any comments?
Nothing at all.
Mr. Jackson?
I have a comment.
Mr. Barnes.
I had an experience within the last few weeks of appearing before the Code Compliance Board in the Shores. That was a shocking, distressing experience. They automatically, everything is a $200 a day fine, regardless of what. They charge an administrative fee for every hearing, for every respondent. And it was unbelievable to me. It was a shock. And there's no compassion, no nothing. When you compare it, I mean, this board is to be congratulated.
Yes.
We are compassionate, we are reasonable, and I'm proud to be a member here. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
I have no connection to that board.
How about red light?
Ms. Kondik, do you have anything? Ms. Kondik, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
Ms. Himes?
Yeah.
Mr. Barnes, do you have anything else?
That's it.
Mr. Brown?
No.
I should have gone that way. Skip the vice or something. Harrington?
Nothing.
Mr. Smart?
No.
I've asked Mr. Sino. I don't have anything. Tony?
No.
Sherry?
No, sir.
Okay. I guess we're adjourned. Enjoy your